piano singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet. Blow, rockin' Robin, what we really gonna rock on tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, singing go bird go. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, go, rockin' Robin, what we're really gonna rock tonight.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I'm so happy to have in studio with us our friends from the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and we have a full house today. We want to say welcome to the Executive Director, Jennifer Veith, and she has brought with her three interns, Allie, Tess, and Tyler. Great to meet all of you.
Great to be here.
Thanks for coming in. So first of all, we are talking in the wonderful summer season, and I'm going to take a picture of that and post it online. I have no idea. It looks like a necklace, like something I'd wear. Who wants to tell me about what you brought?
So it's a monarch chrysalis. I went into its emergence about, I don't know, like a week ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it'll turn into a beautiful butterfly, hopefully within the next couple days.
So I didn't expect it to be bluish green like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and it almost looks like it has gold on it.
Isn't yeah.
that cool?
It's super not bedazzled. Fancy. I didn't do it myself.
So it's a chrysalis. So mm-hmm. tell yes. me again all the different stages.
So it starts with an egg, usually found on the back of a milkweed. And then it hatches, and then they start out really, really tiny, like maybe a half a centimeter. And then they spend the next couple weeks eating all the milkweed, getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's like that story, The Little Caterpillar.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
I love that book.
Exactly like that. And then eventually they go up to a high point, and then they go into like a little J. And then they do this really alien metamorphosis thing where they like break their skin open and they turn into this cool little necklace looking thing.
And how long will it be in this stage?
Anywhere between like 9 to 14 days.
Oh, so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it will come out one of those beautiful orange and black
yeah.
monarchs.
Yeah.
Which is going to come to my house then and feed, because yes. Jennifer told me to plant something. What was it again I'm supposed to plant?
Butterfly weed.
Milkweed.
Okay, milkweed. So, and it's finally doing well. For a while, nice. I thought it was dead, but it looks like it's doing really well. So I look forward to this monarch. Is a monarch a butterfly?
It is.
Okay, so it's in the butterfly world. Mm-hmm. Well, that is so cool. Well, let's learn first a little bit about you three. Allie, why don't you tell us about yourself, and how long have you been working at the Nature Center?
I started working in the Nature Center around May. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin originally, so this is not my state, but it's great to be here. I go to Stevens Point in Wisconsin also. I'm a biology major with a minor in environmental education.
And how did you hear about this internship?
How did I hear about it? Well, I really wanted to go to the Twin Cities for the summer. My brother went to college there, and I wanted to go explore it, so I applied for internships in the Twin Cities area.
And so you knew about Carpenter online, or how did you find out?
Yeah, I found them online. I just typed in Nature Centers near Twin Cities, and it was the first one to pop up.
Did you know what a little jewel you were popping up?
No.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yes, well, thank you for coming in today. Tess, how about you? Tell us about yourself, please.
All right. Well, I started in January at Carpenter. It seems like not that long ago, but it has been. And yeah, I went to Winona State. I graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Ecology, and I just been trying to, you know, get some big girl experience.
Did you grow up in this area?
Yeah, I grew up in Woodbury.
So did you ever go to the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center when you were growing up?
Yeah, we've been hiking a lot of the trails just with family, but I had never been with a school group, so it was kind of fun to see that side of the Nature Center as opposed to just wandering. But yeah, It's been fun.
And how about you, Tyler?
So I am on my fifth week here, so I'm the little baby of the group. I attend school at UW Eau Claire, and I'm studying, and I'm going to be going in my second year. I study biology and psychology with a minor in chemistry. So this is a really good hands-on experience for me to get to be able to work with the animals, because I'm going to specialize in animal behavior. So being able to like work with raptor training and proper animal handling is really a great experience, especially for someone as young as me.
I agree. And I never even thought about animal behavior. That'll be fascinating.
Yes. So I'm super excited. I want to work more in like zoos with like larger animals, like you see like dolphin trainers or things like that, but even more like animal psychology, where like you assess like abnormal behavior in an animal and you try and work towards correcting that behavior would be something along the lines of what I'd want to do.
Very fascinating. Well, good. Well, welcome to all of you. So tell us a little bit about the center. What is going on, and what should we, as listeners, what should we get out and enjoy? Because summer is too short in this neck of the woods, and I know there's a lot going on. So what should we know about, please?
We have a preschool story time coming up on Friday for all of our little tots that want to come learn about. I believe it is the Amazing Ants.
Oh, yeah. Ants are amazing.
Yeah.
As long as they're outside.
And we've been finding out that ants like to hang out on the milkweed.
What?
Yeah.
Is that what I just planted?
It is.
Yes. Really?
So they're coming for you.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something about the flowers on the milkweed. We were talking with Jessie, right?
Yep.
Yeah, she was saying that ants like the nectar that the flowers provide, so they'll eat like the nectar, but then they protect the plant from other types of insects that might damage the milkweed. So then it's like a symbiotic relationship where like the plant helps the ant, but the ant helps the plant.
Okay.
And they do the same thing with like peonies. So if you have like a peonies bush.
I do. Oh, peonies. You know what? Yes. Because every time you pick fresh peonies and bring them in,
there's ants.
It's
everywhere.
Like ants everywhere. Yeah. Like a picnic.
Yeah. My house is the same thing, but that's why. It's the same type.
You should always shake them off and then leave them outside, right?
Okay. I didn't know that.
I don't know that either.
The good technique, the ant technique.
So what else? So that's for Tiny Tots. What else is coming up, please?
There's a huge Carpenter Art Festival that will be happening in August.
Oh, I love the sound of that. Okay.
Yeah. So you get art and the Wisconsin campus and all kinds of cool stuff happening there. Yeah, two
and
for one.
When is that, please, and what does that entail?
The Carpenter Art Festival is August 24th. It's a Saturday. And it's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And what kind of art will be there, please?
All kinds of art. There's ceramics, there's photography, there's a couple woodworking gentlemen that'll be there, all kinds of fun stuff. I believe there's a winery that's coming as a vendor, so.
Very nice.
Swirl your wine, look at some art
on
Wisconsin campus.
And look at the gorgeous.
Yeah.
Nature around you. Tyler, what else is coming up that piques your interest?
Well, I was looking at or thinking about the public bird banding that we do, because we do
love
bird banding.
How does that happen? I don't get it. How can you, I mean, how can you put bracelets on little tiny, I can really get my own bracelet on. And I mean, the fact that they can put these on these tiny little birds, what the heck?
So it's a whole process. They do it every Friday, but there are certain ones that are open to the public. So the most upcoming one will be July 26th. From 8:30 a.m. to noon. So they have a bunch of nets set up all around the property, and they're these really big, long nets, and the birds will get caught in them, and they have people watching the nets, and it doesn't harm the birds at all. So they, like, grab the bird very carefully. They'll put it in this little bag and bring it on in, and they have people who are, like, trained on how to properly hold the birds so that you can get access to the foot but still not hurt the bird at all. And you want to make sure you, like, kind of keep the wings in so they don't flap around and hurt themselves accidentally. And then they'll just snip the bracelet on if it's a new one. If it's an old one, they'll look at the band and write down the number. And kind of, like, they take note of, like, the gender, the species, kind of, like, things like that that, like, science would need. And then they let the bird go, and it flies away. And we use the information. We'll send it in. and it gets used to kind of track migratory patterns of different birds. You look at if birds are going to a certain area more than they were before, if there are new species showing up. So it's really interesting, and you can access it all around the world. They'll send it in. So
we can access it, can't we, Jen? Because you've told me about some of your birds and where they've been spotted.
Yep, exactly. We've had birds, some of our juncos that winter with us, they've been recovered in Alaska. Some of our little tiny saw-whet owls are recovered about 900 miles away in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. And it helps you know not just their routes, but if there's a species like American kestrels that are declining, it can help you pinpoint maybe where that decline is happening so we can help protect these species. So, for instance, we just banded 7 kestrel chicks on the Wisconsin campus, or I mean on the Minnesota campus, and they all got banned. So hopefully we'll be able to help that species, which is in decline, and they're an amazing little falcon.
So when you are finding these birds, you find them every Friday.
They're there all week, though.
Oh, they're there all week. Oh. And then you, let's say they fly into your nets. How many of them are new birds without any bands, and how many of them require?
That's a great question. It depends on the time of the year. So during migration, when we have all these birds moving through,
sure,
there tend to be more new birds proportionally than in the middle of the winter or in the middle of summer. So middle of summer, all your breeding territories are kind of claimed, and all the adult birds, they're likely returning to their breeding territory. So you get a lot more re-encounters, is what we call it, which is really cool because those re-encounters tell you even more information than a new bird. Because they'll tell you, you know, we've had a red-winged blackbird a few weeks ago that was 11 years old.
Oh, I love that.
And you think of how far that bird migrates. It didn't get eaten by something. It didn't hit a window. It didn't get hit by a car or eaten by a cat. I mean, it survived.
But yet it was caught in the thing how many times?
Twice. Some of them have been caught, you know, 9, 10 times. And I swear the winter birds come in because it's warmer inside. not really, but...
Well, those nets are hard to see. I almost always walk into them. I like walk out of the building and startle. I can't even see them.
I know.
It's supposed to.
Yeah, be careful. You don't get tattooed. What are they
going to do? Yeah.
Learn all the information about you.
I'm from Hudson. I migrate to Hastings every morning.
Tyler, did you grow up in Hudson?
Yes.
So did you remember going to the Carpenter-St. Clair Valley Nature Center when you were growing up?
Yeah, a few times.
Isn't it fun now that you are actually working there?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How cool is that?
Super cool.
It is.
I love it a lot.
So next week we have Pioneer starting up. They're 7 to 8 year olds. So we've got a fun weather week planned for them. We're going to do some tie-dye. We practiced our tie-dye on our shoes. Tyler's currently sporting them.
Yeah, I do have my shoes on.
We're going to make rain sticks. We're going to do like a rain circle. Create our own thunderstorm with like drums and our rain sticks. We're going to watch the bird banders on Friday. We're going to do some wind gauges. Oh, that's the coolest thing. I've never tried to like catch the wind in this little thermometer before, and I learned like not to put your mouth on it because it can creates all this condensation, and I was like, oh, don't blow it. Just kidding.
Okay. So you're going to do that with the... are these mainly younger kids?
Yeah. So they're 7 to 8 year olds. That's our only age group that are allowed to come for Pioneers. But the week after, I believe, is Pathfinders. And those are 10 and plus, I believe. And we're going to go to a lot of different farms.
Yeah. I know we've talked about going to like an organic farm. We've talked about going to like an urban farm. So it's just a lot of different kind of like... places to branch out and explore. I think we're going to a dairy farm to kind of see how different farming techniques are used for kids that may not necessarily know all these different things. I certainly don't know.
I will
all
not
this stuff.
Know. I'm from Milwaukee.
But why is it important for kids these days to understand and appreciate nature?
Well, from the farm aspect, it's very important to know where your food comes from, because
we take it for granted, don't we?
Yeah, some kids are like, I get it from the store. I'm like, oof, is that really where you get it?
Well, and just overall, a good respect for nature is really important, because, you know, nature was here before us, and nature's going to be here after us, hopefully, and you want to make sure to treat it right and give it respect, and we do have kind of like a, you want to have a reciprocal aspect of nature. Like, we give it what it needs, and it returns things to us, such as, like, our food and our water, our clean air. So if we're going to mess with nature, we shouldn't expect anything great back from it. So it's just kind of like you want to teach kids from a young age to treat nature as its own, like, separate little thing and keep it nice and treat it with respect so that it respects you almost in return.
When each of you were growing up, you all have degrees, or you're working on a degree in the science field in some regard. And tell us what sparked your interest in that from the beginning.
Yeah, well, since I grew up in Milwaukee, I don't have a whole lot of outdoor experiences. And so when I did get to go play in nature, I was like, wow, this is the best thing ever. And so I wanted to share that love with other younger kids. And so that's why I fell into this, because my goal is to ultimately work with inner city kids and get them outside and to teach them that there's more to do than just play with your electronics. And I had to learn that. So I'll be like, hey, bud, you got to learn that too.
There you go. How about you, Tess?
I don't know. I just always grew up outside. And so I kind of fell into a mindset that I wanted a career that was not surrounded by four walls. And I enjoy being outside. I find myself talking to animals more than people most of the days. But, yeah, I don't know. I've always just liked being outside. And so I think it's a great way to spend your full 8 hours for the next, 50 years while I'm out here working. So, yeah.
Well, good. How about you, Tyler?
Well, I always really loved zoos as a kid. Like, I'd go growing up in Hudson. I'm not that far away from, like, Como and, like, Minnesota. And then in eighth grade, my dad signed me up for the Minnesota Zoo Camp for kids. And it's basically, like, you shadow, like, zookeepers and stuff and learn what zookeepers do all week. And he's really kind and drove me, like, an hour every day there and drove me an hour every day back for a week to get me to the zoo camp. And we did such cool things. We learned about, like, increasing populations and making food preparations and even, like, stimulating their brains. Like, we made toys for wolverines out of paper mache and peanut butter and stuff so that they could, like, stimulate their brains and tear it open. And just kind of, like, this whole world was open to me as, right, like, an eighth grader. Like, this is an opportunity that I could have as an adult, and I knew.
Isn't that
I wanted.
Interesting, because you never would have known that was
a
job.
For sure, right. No. Like, I would have never thought about it. And then just because on a whim, my dad signed me up for zoo camp because I love the zoos so much. Right. And here I am years later.
I love it. Well, and here you are even many more years later. What the heck? It's great to meet all of you. Thanks for coming in today. And if people want to learn more, tell us how they can learn more about the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center.
Well, you can find us online. We're on Facebook, Instagram. You can call the number. You know, the best way is just to come by and explore it yourself.
We love that. And we want to thank our guest today, Jennifer Veith, who is the executive director of the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. And we want to also thank Allie, Tess, and Tyler for coming in today. Good luck to all three of you. Wonderful, bright young woman. Where do you find all these wonderful people, Jen?
I have a great intern coordinator, Mamie Johnson.
Yes.
So if anybody out there has a youngster that wants to be an intern, they need to call Mamie or send a resume to Mamie.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, just bright, bright, bright young people you always bring in. And it reminds me how little I know about. I'm going to work on that. You are listening to another edition of Community in Depth. Thank you for Carpenter Nature Center coming in today. And do visit them. So much fun stuff going on. And you are listening to KDWA AM 1460 and FM 97.7. KDWA in Hastings.